Welcome to another edition of The Broadcast, and I am Vicky Barcelona, and with me as always is Sarah.
Oh, hey.
Sarah.
Yes.
We were gone last week.
We were. It was devastating.
I know.
I cried.
Caesar messaged me immediately.
Yeah, because Caesar knows what's up.
But what is our contact info?
Well, if you do want to message us, you can message us at our Instagram, which is thebroadcast999. You can call or text us at 253-778-6029, or you can email us at thebroadcast999@gmail.com.
And we did get quite a few, like, they're not a lot, but they're a lot of content.
Oh,
when it
okay.
comes to both text and email.
So they're girthy is what you're saying.
They're very girthy.
That's how I like it.
First one. Wait, no, that's not the right one. Lied. This one from Frosty.
Frosty.
Hey, ladies. I wanted to comment on the is it rude topic, because we were talking about things that feel rude, even though they're technically not. And then we got into a discussion on some things on, like, hey, is this technically rude or not? Like, one of them that we were disagreeing on, is it rude to ask somebody for the money that you lent them borrow?
You owe them. Or that they owe you.
It's like, hey, can I get the $20 back?
Or yeah, whatever feels it rude, but it shouldn't be.
So he says, so I remember one time I went to the Wayne Static solo tour concert. If you guys know Static X, you know Wayne Static. Gemini Syndrome opened and killed it. I Empire was amazing. There was a local band that didn't do it for me, and a band called King with a Y.
Edgy.
Right. I think One Eyed Doll was there too. But I'm a big vocals guy and I love to sing. And if I don't like the vocals in a band, I won't like the band. So I bought a CD for all the bands except for King. Then I'm standing there waiting for the singer of I Empire to get my CD signed, holding the CDs in my hand right next to the King booth. One of the members looked and noticed I had everything theirs and commented, hey, you're missing one. Man, that was so awkward. I felt bad and I almost felt rude, but I was like, yeah, sorry. But I agree about the Comic-Con and art. Some of it is great, but I can't buy everything. It's
like he didn't like that specific band, so he didn't have their stuff. And
like they pointed it out, like, hey, you're missing one, dude. Hey, we got you.
That's so awkward.
At that point, like, I feel like, oh, crap.
That's kind of like what we were saying when you go to like a farmer's market or mm-hmm. you go up to someone's booth and either you like their stuff and you can't afford it or you don't like it. And then you just like walk away and you're like, sorry. Okay, yeah. Bye. It's like, it's not rude, but it feels really rude.
It's like, it's more like, is it more rude that you brought that up? Like,
yeah, it's just very awkward.
Right. It's cringe.
Cringe.
If it was like a newbie, like a local band, like teenagers, they're just starting out. There have been times I have purchased stuff from people that I didn't necessarily like. Okay, it's not really my jam, but I want to support you. So yeah. I'm buying this.
That's very nice of you.
And then I never listen to
Yeah, exactly. It just sits there and collects dust.
Oh, my God. So we did get another message. Says, hey, ladies, your buddy James here.
What up, James?
Long time no text, and I hope you're all doing well. So I have to apologize. This is going to be a long text. So since when has it been a bad thing to treat a woman like a gentleman should treat a woman? I ask because my wife and I went out to eat for our 8-year anniversary. Ladies, I was laying it on hard. I was opening doors, pulling her chair out, gave her flowers. I was doing my hardest to make this the most romantic night she could have. It has been a long time since we had this kind of night away from kids. So we have a great dinner and some nice drinks. And after I pay the bill and we are leaving, the hostess says to a coworker, damn, she has that dude simping on her hard. I hope she gets paid and drains him before she leaves his simp ass. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
Like, she's being paid to be there? That's what they think?
Yeah, I guess. It's like, my wife was about to rip that girl a new one, but I convinced her to just leave it alone because her opinions doesn't matter. Yes, I know I'm texting you about this because it's bothering the hell out of me and I need an outside opinion about it. Why would someone be so mean? Thanks, girls. First off, I need to look up what simping means. I'm like, I don't.
Wait, okay. Wait, can you read what the hostess said?
Hold on. So simping, according to Urban Dictionary, just so we have a little more context, is when you infatuate over a woman, allowing them to take over your mind and cause you to do things for them that you wouldn't normally do.
Okay, so the hostess thinks that
he's like basically
you're her little bitch.
Yeah, like your puppy dog love sick. Oh. Like on this, like, damn, she has that dude like drooling over her, like fawning over, like everything over her hard. I hope she gets paid, and drains him before she leaves his ass. Like, so this honestly sounds to me like,
whoa.
They, so if I, I'm wondering if all their friends, and I mean this in a very nice way, because I appreciate the hustle, are whores.
Oh, the hostess's friends?
Yeah, like, are they all, like, I've had friends, funny enough, she was the hostess, and became a server, but she was a sugar baby.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the idea that I got, like, that what they thought, it's like, oh, you know, this guy, like, the daddy, if you will, of the sugar baby is, like, super fawning over somebody, and it's like, yeah, this is...
Well, and how, is your wife way more attractive than you? Because I'm not going to lie. When I was a waitress, we would have people come into the restaurant that you immediately were like, that is a sugar daddy, sugar baby relationship to a T. Usually the guy was way older. The girl was younger. It looked very obvious. And it was always very awkward to serve them, might I add you, because the girl
is this your daddy? Kind of.
Sort of. But, you know, so... Is your wife way more attractive than you to where, because, I mean, I don't think like opening doors and pulling out the chair and being very gentlemanlike, I don't really think that's so crazy nowadays, you know? Like, I don't think a waitress or a server or hostess or whoever would be like,
Honestly, though, I don't remember the last time I saw anybody pull out all the stops, if you will. Like, I've never seen somebody do all of those things. It's much less like a lot of dudes doing that. Like, I might have seen it once in a while, but it's not a common practice anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe because it isn't common practice, it seems over the top, which is really silly. Isn't that silly?
Well, yes. But I mean, like, I hold doors open for strangers still. Like, I, you know, so
right.
To me, it's not. Well, I mean, now it's COVID rules. So who
don't
knows?
Touch me.
Don't do anything. Don't touch anything. Don't leave anything open for me. But no, that's why that's very curious that. And that's very. I don't know if I'd get really, I mean, I can see kind of how your wife would get really upset about that, but I also don't, like, I'm usually one of those, like, confrontational, like, someone pisses me off, I will say something, but even for me, I'd be like,
They basically implied that you are getting paid to be with this guy, whether it means hooker or sugar baby, which, let's be real, that is what a sugar baby is. You are, because I don't know anybody who's been in a sugar baby relationship that didn't have sex.
Oh, see, I know of some.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
it was
just
girlfriend experience?
You just get paid to be the arm candy. You get paid to go out to dinner. There's no sex, at least. Mm-hmm. Not that I know of, anyway. Right. Maybe there was on the sly, but no, Yeah.
So basically, in a lot of ways, like, not all the time, because you know people that do not, but a lot of times it is a form of prostitution.
Oh, so she was getting upset thinking that the hostess thinks that she's having sex with him,
which is her husband.
Oh, okay. See that still wouldn't piss me off, but then again, I don't really call me a whore, call me a prostitute, I don't really care. Like, I think, hey,
I feel like you'd be like,
if you get paid,
like, you think I'm a net score, I'm that nice looking,
dude. That's exactly where my mind went. I if I was out with my boyfriend and this happened, I would think it's whole, I'm like, babe, they think I'm this hot that I could be your whore. That's
but then
hilarious.
They also think that he is that desperate and that pathetic.
Well, that's why
what
I'm
they're implying.
That's why I'm asking, is there like a huge age gap? Is there a huge like attraction gap? That's why I'm, because
I think regardless, I think it's a rude thing to have said. You probably, as a waitress, like,
well, I mean, and don't
say it quieter.
Yeah,
know?
Say this it in the kitchen. Say it in the dish pit. Don't say it to where they can hear you.
In the freezer, in the walk-in.
Yeah,
like, well, be smarter, waitresses.
See, and then I wonder, so she got really pissed off, and he
is bothered by it, but he's trying to keep it cool for her, it seems like.
Because
he's frosty, like, you know, he's trying to keep it cool.
I see what you did there. See, I would be more upset if I was the guy, I think, if I was frosty. I'd be like, wow, you think I can't score this woman who's my wife and has been for 8 years on my own.
And it's like, I treat her well just because I buy her like really nice drinks. We have this nice dinner, you know, go all out.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker.
Yeah, right? In reality, you're just like a nice guy.
Yeah. It's like, thanks for that.
Yeah, I think I'd be more offended if I was the dude. If I was the girl, I'd be like, okay, I'm so fine. All right.
See, I could see why girls would be offended, but I would definitely agree that the dude would probably be more offended in this situation. But yeah, I think that's kind of a jerk thing. I think some women, I think her friends are just probably that young age group, maybe in their 20s, the zennials, if you will.
Ew. I hate that word.
Right. They're the age group behind millennials.
Yeah, the Zennials.
Generation Z. So they're very much into that whole TikTok sugar baby. Let me send you pictures of my B.
Dude, we're even in that demographic. Yeah, like, have you listened to the lyrics of A WAP by Cardi
right.
B?
Right, we're in that weird, we're in this weird age group, like in the millennial group. I feel like we're old enough to remember things like playing outside and, you know, when technology sucked. Like, I remember we had Windows 95 and that computer took forever to load.
It did.
But then I'm also, you know, we're partially the technology generation. We have a little bit of both worlds. However, while the Zennials, that's all the world was just technology.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's the only difference between us in the sense of Vicky, remember the good old days.
Plot twist, Vicky hates being called a millennial, so she gets really on her, no, I am older than that kind of horse, which
well,
is
I don't,
fine.
I don't, it's not so much that I hate being called a millennial because that's what I am. I hate the tone in which people say it. Oh, you're just a millennial.
See, she hates it.
Yeah. It's basically like saying, oh, you're a dumb bitch.
Well, now the Gen Zennials, they're getting more of the dumb bitchness.
Yeah.
And we're getting the cranky old people. But I think if it bothers you still, and if it had, I mean, next time if something like that happens, just say something. I'm all about like sticking up for yourself. If something bothers you, like, or have your wife. Your wife was really, like, upset about it. Dude, just let her say something.
Right. It's, like, especially this is a situation where, like, yes, the meal was over and you're walking out, but there's still the customer service aspects that still have to go on.
Yeah, and it's still obviously...
This is coming from two previous servers.
Yeah, and it bothers you in a way, and you can... I mean, maybe it would be a good lesson to these hostesses. Like, no, there are still gentlemen out there that can treat their wife or their girlfriend or their baby mom like their loved ones, not necessarily a paid situation. It's love, man. It's true love.
Right. We did get an email from April. It's a April. Little longer, but it's cute. It's cute because it's like, yay, it's Faith in Humanity is the title of it.
Oh, yay. We had this topic a few weeks ago.
We discussed it that, you know, Faith in Humanity Restored, read a couple stories, talked about how somebody did something really awesome for me. And then we got into the whole topic also of like humble brag. I want to hear when, you know, you've had people do something awesome that, restored your faith in humanity and when maybe you've done it for somebody else.
Yes.
And it sounds like humble bragging, like I did this nice thing. Like, I want to hear it because... I feel like there is a stigma. There's people that do it just purely for attention. They don't do it out of the goodness of their own heart. And those who do it out of the goodness of their own heart, this is your time.
To shine.
To shine. Because I want to hear it. I need some goodness. But she says, hello, ladies. I've always been taught to treat others as you wish to be treated. That being said, some days are harder than others.
True that.
I just try to be a kind human to others. I always have jumper cables with me, and I have many, many times helped others, but I have also had to have had someone else help me, too. And I have with my husband and a few times with my daughter pushed cars out of the roadway. To me, it's not a big deal. It's just being kind to others. Okay, now story time. I was once on my way home in the middle lane of I-5 southbound Fife curve during heavy time weekday traffic a few years ago when my Jeep totally lost power.
Oh, this is a nightmare of mine.
no lights, no nothing. Afraid of being rear-ended, I got out of my Jeep and started to push it to the breakdown lane. No, not the smart thing to do. I am 5'2" and at the time I was 45. And my Jeep is a little bit lifted, so the door open for me to push and steer. I could only see my door, and I was praying that people would see me pushing this thing by myself and give me the patience and space to get over the two lanes. But luckily for me, the work truck that was behind me saw all of this, and one of the guys got out and helped.
Aww.
Once I was on the side safely, he ran back to his vehicle, all without me even getting his name or his company name. So shout out to the guy, whoever you are. My husband and I ride Harleys. Yes, I ride my own. And that being said, when I see motorcyclists sitting on the side of the road, if I can, I stop it. Stop it is the brother thing to do, like in the motorcycle world. I once was on my way to work with two other ladies and I spotted a bike with a rider sitting on the ground. I told the ladies, you can work and let them know we will be late. Oh, you call work, excuse me. And you be ready to call 911. I did not ask if it was okay. I just told them I was pulling over. They later told me that they knew I would. It turned out the gentleman was having a medical issue and he did not need to call for help. I don't know how many people drove past this man only caring about getting to work on time or whatever, but the rest of the drive into work, I cried for him. And for a society that would allow someone in pain to suffer by themselves on the side of I-5 during morning traffic. Finally, my last story. It is long and this one still breaks my heart. My husband and I are riding on 101 in South Bend by Raymond, and it's a two-lane road. The speed limit's 40. When in the not-so-distance, I saw something moving on oncoming traffic, and it was a child in nothing but a diaper.
What?
I truly don't know, still to this day, remember if I got off my bike in the middle of the road or if I got on the side of the road. I do not remember looking for cars coming in either direction. All I do remember is running across the road, picking this child up. It was Memorial Day weekend, so the cops were out patrolling pretty heavy, so my husband literally flagged down an officer. Long story longer, I ended up at the back of the police car holding the child to the station, all while my husband sat with our bikes for the time I was gone. Once at the station, I was informed the officers that the diaper change was very much needed. One officer went to the store and bought diapers and wipes. Once he came back, the two officers that were there were lost as what to do. Putting them at ease, I took the diapers from the officers and changed the poor girl.
Aww.
While I was changing her, the officers were literally using Facebook to find who she might belong to. I guess in a small town, they knew most of, if not all the people. I was taken back to my husband after a few calls were made, I assume to child services of some sort. And when I got back to my bike and my husband noticed that I had a flat front tire. So he rode the 32 mile about 40 minutes away back to our campsite to get the truck and trailer. Only once he got there, realized that the truck and trailer keys were with me.
No.
So back he came mad as hell, only to find me now almost dark time sitting on my bike with another bike sitting beside me. At first, my husband was worried, but it turned out that the gentleman had sat with me for almost the whole time he was gone, over 2 hours, and would not leave because he said before it's the brother thing to do.
Mm.
Once my husband got back to me riding his bike was when I realized that I had the keys and such. The other guy, without asking, told us to wait and he would be right back. Sure enough, he rode to a friend's house, left his bike and a note saying he borrowed his truck and trailer, and took me and my bike back to our campsite. I did finally get him to accept some money for his time and gas by saying, "Let me buy you a beer." Since my husband doesn't drink, I couldn't offer him a real beer, so he didn't accept the money and such. A week or so later, I did receive a letter from the mail from the police chief of South Bend. LOL, I know he personally wrote it and not a secretary by the wording and typing errors, thanking me for your selfless act at the time of saving little Kalisa, saved my two childless young officers considerable mental anguish by rescuing them from having to perform an actual diaper change. To be honest, it made me cry because now I know the little two-year-old's name. Not sure why, but for some reason it still hits me when I see the letter on my refrigerator. Yes, I know. It's silly. It happened a few years ago and I still have it up there. I don't think it is anything special, but I still think as humans, we need to look out for one another and help when or how we can. It saddens me to see when I see people's videos. Look at me. I'm giving money to the homeless, et cetera, do it for just being good to one another, not for likes and shares and views. Sorry it was long, but keep up the good work. April.
Oh, April, you're the best human being
so
ever. There needs to be more people like you.
Right?
Wow. That is incredible. And I love that, somebody else helped you, the same day. That's so
right.
Cool.
It all kind of comes back full circle.
The good karma.
Right. And that's what, I have to tell my dad. Dad, you are a good person. Right now, so, a little backstory. My parents are moving.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's, been living with me.
Yeah.
And now my parents are going to move in with me for a couple months.
Yikes!
It's actually... I know I should be more
bitch, you're gonna
worried.
Like it for a week. You're gonna be over it.
I'm okay with it so far. I'm not as stressed as I thought I would be. With the idea of having them there, it could change.
Yeah, I think you are in there. You're settled in the fact that they're coming no matter what. They're gonna
right.
be here for a few months.
But
it just is what it is.
At the earliest, if all goes well, if they can sell the house right away and they can find a house they love right away, the earliest they would probably be out would be the beginning of December. If you think about it, because we're in October tomorrow.
You know, that's yikes. That's
right.
A long time. Even like the earliest, that's like 2 full months.
But I was like, that's Thanksgiving. And then like, even if they, like, let's say even throughout December, like they leave at the beginning of January. I'm like, but then we'll have Christmas together. And we're all like, it's been a very long time since like my brother, my mom and dad and I all lived together at the same time.
And your foster baby
brother.
Now
my foster baby brother. We've never all lived, the five of us, together. So it's kind of...
Your house is a good size, but it ain't that good of a size.
No, it is not. It's, and I'm lucky in the sense of I've created a really good support system. So like my best friend's like, okay, if things kind of get a little too hectic, come over. We have a guest room. Like I have my escape.
Do you really not think you're going to get sick of it like real quick? Like after a week?
I'm not saying that I won't get sick of it, but I don't think after the week... I think it might take a little longer, mostly because I'm so sick of the moving process right now. I gladly welcome anything else.
Okay, good luck with that. Coming from someone who still lives with her dad and her boyfriend, I could not imagine my mother and my brother being there too. Hell freaking no.
Even, you're also kind of a bitch. No.
Oh, I mean, yes. And but
I mean that with all the love of my heart.
Our house is a good size.
Oh, and yeah. Even it's like double that, the size of my house.
We could still, yes, all have our own room. No. That is still no. And I know my dad would not like it. My mom would not like it. My brother for sure would not like it.
It's funny because, like, you like the idea of, like, because your dad was telling me this once, that you went to you went back to the east and you saw the way your, like, the families live. They all live together.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's why Sarah lives with me, because she really loves that. But I'm like, but the whole family's not
well,
there.
Well, one, I really like my father. My father and I get along very well. It would,
because you very much are similar.
We're very
people.
Similar. Yes. And it's great because we have our own floors.
Yes.
I don't know how it would be like if we had a third floor and my brother lived up there. You know, I don't know how that would be because mm-hmm. we all have our own little area. But it does really help that I actually genuinely really enjoy my father
right.
and his presence and the way he lives. But yeah, no, I don't think I think like if my mom lived upstairs too, I would not be living there. You know what I'm saying?
I like, think the saving grace for me though is like, so you get along with your dad. You guys have the same schedule, mm-hmm. right? Your mom, it would probably be home most of the time.
She just goes with the wind, man.
Right, exactly.
She goes wherever her heart tells her to go.
So for me, my brother has a similar schedule to me at the moment. Like he's going to be going back where it's, which actually will make it so I see him less even. He gets up around the time I do and goes to work maybe like 45 minutes or an hour after I do.
Okay.
So I maybe see him in the morning if he gets up to pee. And then he's been getting off work earlier. His schedule's going to change to where he's not going to get home until like 6 or 7.
Oh, damn.
So I won't really see him until late at night when I'm ready to go to sleep. My dad doesn't get off work until 6. Except like he doesn't work like half the week. He has a weird schedule. So he works long days, but he gets like a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
You know, my foster brother's in daycare for 3 of the days. My mom, depending on her schedule, she can either be home by like 2 or she'll be home by like 6. So it's one of those, like, I will still have like my alone time at the house.
All right. Yeah. You know, Vicky always looks at the glass half full or whatever the
it's
hell
either that
saying.
Or
and I'm just more of a realist and I'm like, bitch, you're gonna hate this.
See, Sarah finds a way to like dampen my world.
No, I feel like I just
you're peeing all over my life.
Hey, the pee is real and it's there and it's on your life. I'm just wanting to be like, hey, there's pee on your life. You're more like,
see,
is it pee or is it lemonade?
I think it's lemonade.
You're right, it is actually pee. You
Maybe
know what I mean?
It's just water.
Yeah.
It's just rainwater. I mean, it could be mixed with other stuff that's in the air, like
maybe
pollution
and stuff.
Maybe it's a mixture.
I'm just saying, I think you're going to hate it.
We shall see.
We shall see. Kind of like you loved having your roommates.
Yeah,
oh, wait, you didn't.
I did at first. And then
yeah,
it got too much.
For like a week.
But that was also 9 months as
yeah.
opposed to 2
well,
months.
Well, yeah, hopefully this is just 2 months
yeah.
and they can really sell and buy fast.
Yes. So cross your fingers. We did get one more message that I want to kind of get through before we get out of here. And this is from Rose.
Rose.
Says, hey, ladies, I'm listening to your episode about restoring faith in humanity.
Oh, yes.
Vicky was sharing about her friend that had cancer and needed a bone marrow transplant. Your friend had a form of leukemia. So I didn't remember what kind it was. I just remembered it was a very rare form in the sense of only ten people a year get diagnosed with this cancer.
Damn.
That's how rare it is. So bone marrow transplants are typically only for blood cancers and sickle cell anemia. My son went through this year. He was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia last August. He did 3 rounds of chemo and had a bone marrow transplant in January. So a few things about marrow and the transplant being a donor. So I'm like, I just kind of signed up.
Vicky's a donor. Yep.
I'm a donor. But I couldn't really give you the specifics. So I'm like, I don't understand this.
If someone needs my bone marrow, I
just
got it.
Take it.
Yeah.
So the recipients and the donor are matched by genetic genomes. You match someone random well enough that their DNA will work with that you've got. My son's donor was a 33-year-old woman in Germany.
Oh, cool.
So they type and match the recipient and then go through the massive donor list, the Be the Match organization, which is what I went through. And they find a preliminary pool of people that hit the first 10 genetic markers. My son's first pool was nearly 600 people. From there, they look at the next set of markers to dwindle the donor list down further. In the end, it took about 3 months to find my son's perfect match. Finding a match in this amount of time isn't always the case. Some people wait to find a donor for months and months.
Wow.
If you're a match, they contact you and first ask if you're still willing to be a donor. If you are, they ask you to go to the nearest oncology facility for some blood work to make sure you're still a viable donor. Here in Seattle, it's the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance, the SCCA. And if you are, then you have a few weeks of some meds to help boost your white cell blood count to get juicy, fatty marrow for your donor.
You want that juicy marrow.
Yeah. The process of donation is simple. They sedate you like you're having your wisdom teeth taken out. That was a fun time. I had mine taken out. They draw from 5 spots along your hips and bone chest.
Hips crest.
About 5 draws from each site so they can get about 20 ounces of marrow. The donors sore for a few days, so they will try to draw it on a Thursday and a Friday so you have their weekend to recover. The donor receives it like a blood transfusion over the course of 5 hours. And as the new marrow takes over, yes, the DNA changes. My son's spit DNA is the same from birth. His hair and blood DNA is his donor's.
Whoa!
His hair changed to her color and texture, at least what we believe it to be. And he started adopting taste change and some allergies he never had before, like to his cat.
That is so wild.
Right? He will always be a little immune compromised, but mostly this first year and with COVID, we had to be super careful. Like, that's one of the things, too. Like, my buddy, he's been super careful. But also, he has to get all of his immunizations all over again. Like, you know, when you're a little kid, you got all the shots and stuff. He has to do it all over again. Also, one thing I learned about all of this is that 85% of the bone marrow registry is white, which leaves 15% every other race. So it became my mission as a white woman who got to see her son find a donor so quickly to educate the non-white communities of the need for non-white marrow donors.
Oh.
Almost most of the black community that receives marrow transplants end up needing a second transplant within 10 years.
Wow.
So, whew, that was long. Love the show, ladies, Rose and Tacoma. And this is Rose from One Woman Spa. So give a shout out to One Woman Spa. See, that is a lot more information that I was able to give. And I'm glad that you broke it down for us.
That blows my mind.
That, like, his saliva's his, but the DNA is. I want to know what the woman's hair looks like to see if it really changed to his.
And, like, the allergies change. And, like, all the stuff I would never think of from bone marrow.
It's like, I like spicy Cheetos now.
Dude, for real. Right? And like the cat, like you've had a cat forever and all of a sudden now you're like kind of allergic to it. Oh, I don't know why, but the getting it from the hip.
It's because you've had issues with your hips. You've had surgeries, right?
Yeah, like not on my hip, but I've had hip problems. But like, it just sounds like that, especially when you sit too, just that crease. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know why that sounds so painful. But that is so cool. That like was fascinating. Thank you, right. Rose, for telling us all that.
So definitely if you guys are people of color, like myself.
Yes.
Please sign up for this. Like it's.
Honestly, it was easy, too, right?
It was super easy. I filled out the application online. They send you a little package in the mail where you, like, you spit into this tube, I think.
So they can know what...
Yeah, so you have their... they have your DNA.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
You
know, like, whatever. Like, they already have
the world, everyone has your DNA now.
Everything has everything about me. Yeah. People are like, you don't want, you know, the government spying you. I'm like, I have a foster brother. I've had my fingerprints taken. Like, they're in the registry. Plus, like,
even if you unlock your phone, isn't that your fingerprint?
Right, like, exactly. Like, I the government knows plenty about me. I'm not too worried at this point. If they're going to screw me over, they're going to screw me over. But it's pretty awesome to be able to do this for somebody.
Yeah, dude, I want you to get picked.
You want me to be in pain?
Well, I'll take care of your hips, don't worry. Oh, hey. But then I wonder if you can actually know your donor or if it's completely anonymous.
I'm not really sure how that works. So, Rose, if you could let us know, I'm very fascinated.
Yeah, like, can you know? Yeah. Is it all like hush-hush and you're not supposed to or not allowed to?
Or is it one of those like, hey, I don't mind them knowing me. Here's like my information if they want to know, or you know what, maybe not, or vice versa.
Because if I gave someone or if someone had to give me, I would want to know and right. be like, we are best friends forever.
It's like, we are one.
Yeah.
We are the same.
Maybe that's why you keep it anonymous. So then.
Right, maybe, just so it doesn't get weird.
You and I would get weird about it.
Yeah, we would. But yeah, I'm really curious, Rose, if you can get Phyllis in. And if you guys end up signing up, I would love to give you a shout out. Like, yes! I want to hear about that. Because I am very much like, I'm down and I'm excited if I ever get picked.
I know, I mean, you're awesome.
I feel bad. Like, I'm like, I'm excited that you have cancer. Yeah. So I can donate.
But I
like,
can help you.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I'm an organ donor, I think.
Your ID.
Yeah, I really want it. Yeah, I wanted that heart on my. I don't even think I knew what it meant when I was like, I just want the heart on it. But I'm like, that's good. People can have my eyes and heart and stuff.
Well, like, I got a little paranoid. Like, I used to have it. And then once somebody's like, don't get it because it means that they won't save you if you're in an accident.
Yeah, I heard that too, to be honest.
And it's just like, okay, that just sounds like some weird conspiracy Bigfoot stuff.
But also could be accurate.
I mean, like what person, like that's a, what's it called? A first responder sitting there like, nope, they just let them chill.
We'll be like, dang, she got good eyes. She got a good beating heart. Her liver's probably a little eh. But, you know, it could go to three different people.
Right.
Screw this bitch.
I don't think that's how it works.
Dude, if anyone gets my heart, though, Vicky, you have to become like best friends with that person in a really creepy way and just like listen to the heartbeat all the time.
Why don't you make your dad do that?
No, you're not feeling it.
I mean, I'll do
it
once.
What if it's in a really hot dude's body?
I'll lick that heart.
Okay, good.
There you go. Just make sure you donate to a dude.
A really hot tattooed male.
Right. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Welcome to another edition of The Broadcast. I am Vicky Barcelona, and with me as always is Sarah.
Oh, hey.
Sarah, what's our contact info?
Well, we have an Instagram. It's TheBroadcast999. You can call or text us at 253-778-6029, or you can email us at TheBroadcast999@gmail.com.
And last episode was basically all just messages, and I love them.
Yes.
Because they're all very, like,
positive
and awesome.
Yeah,
so bring them on. I want more messages, all of the messages, even if it's something silly,
all
or just
of
questions.
The messages.
But I did find this article on BuzzFeed, and it says people shared weird house rules that they had when they were kids, and holy heck, parents are wild. And it reminded me of this other story, and if you go find it, just type in poop knife? Like Reddit or something, or Imgur, and it's a story about this guy. Apparently their family were very notorious for having really big turds.
Ew, what?
And so they always kept a knife in their bathroom to, like, chop it up, right?
Chop it up?
To, like, make it go down the drain.
Oh, my.
Right? So then he goes.
That's disgusting.
He doesn't realize that this is not a normal thing until he goes to a friend's house when he's older. He's like, hey, where's your poop knife? And they're like, what? Are you talking about? And so it blew up on the internet. Like,
first of all, isn't that why you have a plunger?
It won't go down. It's not that it clogs it. It won't go down.
Ew. Oh, that is not okay.
But, you know, maybe this is less about rules. Like, or less, this is more rules as opposed to, like, weird crap you have in your bathroom. No pun intended. So I'm going to read you some of these, and I want you to think of any weird, like, rules you had in your house.
Okay.
Like, I have one in my mind so far. So They had TV-less Sunday, this one person says. My house had no TV Sundays where we couldn't watch anything between the hours of 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. The rule was usually relax in the winter when we couldn't go outside. But even then, we usually had to find something to do until it got dark out.
I feel like that's actually kind of an okay. I mean, I love me some TV, don't get me wrong. But, you know, like for kids, especially nowadays, and like the tablets and the iPhones and the computers, like I think that's like no electronics maybe for a certain amount of time.
See, I feel like, I don't know if Sunday, like Sunday is a day off.
It's a day of rest.
Right.
Supposedly.
So I'm like, well, if I was going to have like no TV, I mean, I don't know. I feel like
you would never have no TV. I mean, no, I love TV. But I hear it's like bad to like keep little kids in front of screens all the time. So I get like, no, this is the time we all put our screens away. We have to actually hang out with each other.
But I'm wondering how old this person is, because if it was like if they're our age or older, it makes a little more sense because there wasn't so much other screens. Like when we were kids, it was TV. Like we really loved watching TV. My brother and I like movies over and over again. You had your Barney. We had our Disney movies.
I loved me some Barney.
But
I would think TV means like all screens nowadays. Right.
My thinking is, though, if you're going to be doing that, like especially in the winter, it depends also how old the kids are, because I'm just picturing like go entertain yourself. It's like, OK, mom. Come play with us, like color with us, or
I would think like they'd all play tag or they'd go out and
or play board games, like kid games,
or throw the ball around or whatever people do.
So like, because I'm just picturing like, get the hell out of here, kid, go do a thing.
No, at that rate, do whatever you want, go watch all the TV, I don't care.
Right, exactly.
As long as you're not bothering my ass.
Leave me alone. Another one is the even odd rule. So it was just my sister and me, and we argued about everything, so my parents enforced an even odd rule. So my sister got to choose first, and she was younger. She chose even. So on even days, she was able to decide who sat up front or what TV shows we watched. Still to this day, I prefer odd numbers.
I love that rule.
I think it's fair. It's
because,
like, okay.
Yeah, because it's like even odd, different months. There's different like days or how many days or whatever. But it's not like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then the other person gets Tuesday, Thursday, you know, because then there's that one day. It's like it's going to switch.
Right. It's
every
like,
day
okay.
of the week.
Yeah, like it's
I like that.
Like, okay, it's the 23rd. So on the 23rd, you pick. And on the 24th, you pick.
Yeah.
So don't argue. Like, that's just law. Actually, it's not bad.
I like it.
This one, I don't get it. I mean, in my head, in my world.
Okay.
Like, this is ridiculous. No lying on the couch. My dad hated any of the kids lying on the sectional couch. If anyone laid down on it or laid down on it, he immediately said, go to bed or sit up. Couches aren't for sleeping. Ironically, he slept on the couch for 16 years since he didn't have enough room for the 9 of us. So maybe he just didn't want us on his bed. None of us were really that worried about it, but as an adult, I now lounge all over my couch just because I can.
Yeah, dude, that's like my friend's dad. You could not lay on the bed if you had your like street clothes on.
Okay.
Like you had to like, I don't know if you had to take a shower and then get your pajamas. I think it was. They were like a little crazy. Like, but you either had
clean freak.
Like you had to be in your pajamas and I think shower before to be able to lie in your bed.
I think depending on the age of the kids, because like I see my little foster brother come home from daycare and he's like covered in dirt.
No, we were like high school.
Yeah, it's.
Like, even if your shoes, like, I get this whole shoes thing, but even if your shoes are off, you could not lay in the bed with, like, your regular clothes.
That's weird.
And nowadays, I take naps all the time in my regular clothes. I'm laying on that bed all the days.
Like, I get, for little kids, it's like, you're gross.
Yeah, if you're gross, but no, I'd come home after school. Like, laying in the bed.
Like, I hate laying in bed, like, when I'm dirty. Like, if I've been spending the whole day cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning my house, and I'm dirty, my feet are dirty, I can't lay in my bed if I'm dirty.
Yeah.
Like, you just take a nice shower, it just feels so much more relaxed.
So much better.
But, yeah, like, no, I'm going to lay on my bed when I'm clean.
Whenever the hell I want to.
And same with the couch. Like, I read this, like, a quote or whatever, one of those inspirational quotes on Facebook or whatever, and it says, no one, like, at your funeral, no one's going to be like, well, she had really nice shoes and a really cool couch. Or,
dude, that's a lie. At your funeral, I'm saying you had the most comfortable bed ever.
Yes, exactly. Like, the idea is, like, you don't want a couch. Don't ever get a couch you can't, like, relax on, or get a coffee table you'd be afraid to put your feet on. Like, that sort of thing.
Oh. Like, yeah, but people do. People spend hella money on that stuff, right. though.
Like, I mean, if it was, if you had, like, Kim Kardashian money and had, like, your designated, like, formal, like, living room, sure, go for it. But for me, it's, like, at my house, I want to be able to put my feet up. I don't really have a table. I have, like, a...
An ottoman?
An ottoman that opens up and you can put blankets in it.
Oh.
It's like, I need to be able to put my feet up. I want to lay on my couch. Like, I want to lounge. Like, no. That is my... Like, it needs to be comfortable.
Yeah, I feel like maybe...
That's the kind of life I want, maybe, for me, is what I mean.
Maybe when you get older, you know, when you start having, like, kids, or you have, like, hella money to, like, get a really nice couch or something, and something where it's, like, kids aren't freaking on... allowed on this type of thing, because like my parents got a very, very, very expensive, for them, I don't know how much it was, this was years ago, couch, and like we couldn't even like
look bring at it.
Pretty much we couldn't bring, like, we'd always sit, we couldn't bring food on it, obviously couldn't have our shoes on it, could, like, it was the couch. And now they don't care because it's like so old, but right. I was like, damn, like, you guys are trying to be all fancy and you guys are not fancy.
Like, I get maybe trying to, like, okay, you kids are gonna ruin it, so let's try to take the longest time. Like, I just recently
to ruin it. Yeah,
I recently washed my all my carpeting, which is like my stairs and all my upstairs is all carpet.
So okay,
I like full on with like the carpet cleaner cleaned it all. So I've been very adamant to take my shoes off before I
was
going to
say, are you a no-shoes household?
Downstairs, it's totally fine because it's wood.
Yeah.
Upstairs, no. But like, if there's like an emergency, like I'm about to, you know, pee myself, but I still try to like take my shoes off. But there's been a couple of times I've gone up, but very rarely.
See, that's what's always as crazy is most households, I feel like, when I was growing mm-hmm. up, our shoes off, but mm-hmm. my household wasn't. My mm-hmm. mom and dad didn't care at all if you had shoes on. Mm-hmm. And I love it. Still, people come over, and we used to have carpet all over our mm-hmm. house, and now we don't anymore. But people used to come over and be like, shoes off, shoes, should I take my shoes off? And we're like, no, we don't care, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's always just been how it is. Right. And everyone's like, really? I can have my shoes on in here? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. My parents don't care, which is weird because my dad's anal about everything. But I've always been like, yeah, but keep your shoes on.
See, for me, it's a weird thing. And maybe it was just because my dad worked a lot when I was a kid. So whenever I see people hanging out and like when people lounge at their house in jeans or just hanging out in jeans.
That's weird, though.
Or their shoes on. Like, I know Danny says he does this. I can't. Like,
even at other people's houses, though, I get in your own house. Like, it's a comfortable, like, I always right. put slippers on. But if, like,
let's say I come over to your house and we're just there to watch TV and hang out.
Yeah.
I will probably wear something comfortable, like leggings. I might wear my pajamas because I've done that before.
Hell yeah.
But I'm not going to be walking around, like, hanging out in my shoes. Like, if I'm going to be there for a couple hours, we're going to watch, like, you have a TV marathon going on, my shoes are off. Like, I'm going to get comfortable.
Some people just like having their shoes on. It's so weird because my dad and my boyfriend have house shoes.
Like, and that's like,
specific, like, but they're sneakers.
That's also weird. Like, they're, I like my slippers.
Sneakers.
I
yeah.
I have my fuzzy slippers.
Yeah, I got my slippers too, but.
Yeah. So this one's funny. This was a country music hater. It's like, my parents were pretty strict and we had a lot of rules growing up. But the weirdest one was no country music. Seriously. My dad grew up in a small town in Idaho and hated anything country. My dad isn't a man of many words until someone tries to blast it in the house.
Oh! Does he just start yelling?
Just like, turn
that ass off.
This family had a foot bath rule. So if we had been outside wearing open-toed shoes, we had to wash our feet when we got back inside. I still do this as an adult, and I hate the feeling of having dirty hands and feet.
That's weird, though.
Like, if I'm walking around, like, I'll walk, like, outside to, like, my porch area and stuff, like, with no shoes on, like, when it's hot out.
Yeah.
And I'll walk in my downstairs area with no shoes. But, like, when I go into bed, I'll wash my feet. I don't have to wash my feet when I come
in.
Yeah,
but if I'm, like, going, if I'm going to go for a walk and I wear flip-flops and I come home, I don't feel like my feet got that dirty, if dirty. See, like,
depends for me. Like, sometimes mine will if I'm wearing flip-flops. Other sandals, not so much. But flip-flops, I don't know if it's just I don't know how to walk in them. They flap
all
over.
Maybe yours are just, like, naturally really dirty.
I don't know. I have no idea. The TV payment. So we had TV chips.
Mm-hmm.
Every poker chip corresponded to 30 minutes of television.
Hey, we had that.
Did it work?
No. Hell no.
It says, my sister and I would start with a certain number of chips per week, I think 15, in a yogurt container with a lid. and we each had our own color of chips. So for every 30 minutes of television we watched, we had to drop a chip into a large metal bowl. They would reset at the end of the week, and there were certain restrictions on how many we could roll over the next week. There were also opportunities to earn more chips by doing chores or to lose chips for behaving badly.
Yep, yep. We had the poker chip. We had the for the TV, and I think for swearing, too. You'd only have, like... No, maybe the swearing was with money. You had to pay every time you swore. But I would just pay hella money up front, like $5 or $10, you know.
Be like, burn.
Like, this is for my entire week, mother effers. Yeah, rules didn't really work.
I remember in middle school, 8th grade, I had a teacher, and it was one of those block classes. I think it was English and
social studies.
Yeah, something like that, history or whatever. And what he would do is that I think he was also a PE teacher or like a sports teacher.
Dang, this guy did it all.
He was a coach, one of the sports coaches. And where our class was, it was a portable and it was right next to the gym. So on Fridays, so every week, every class or every block class had 30 minutes. So on Fridays, if we were good, we would have 30 minutes to go play like in the gym. So we would play basketball, we could just hang out, we could, you know, if you wanted to read, if you wanted to talk with your friends, it was your 30 minutes of hangout time. And he would play basketball with us. It was a really cool idea. And if we were bad, like when the class wouldn't shut up, he would just quietly go over there and start taking number, like it's just like, oh, 30, now it's 29.
Oh, taking down the minutes.
Yeah, and if people still didn't shut up, oh, now it's 28. So anytime anybody was bad, he would just take down the minutes. Ooh. I think the least amount we ever got was like 10 minutes.
And he's like, damn it, you guys, I really want you guys to have this 30 minutes so I can just chill, too.
And hang out. And that's, like, all the classes. And I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah, that's smart. I like that.
And, like, that way you can also bond with the kids. And, like, it's Friday. Nobody's really learning anything.
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
This one was an early riser. When I was growing up, Saturday mornings were reserved for cartoons. I have three younger siblings, and inevitably, we would argue about who got to choose what cartoon to watch. So my mom made the rule that whoever got up first on Saturday controlled the TV for cartoon viewing. This rule was eliminated, this rule eliminated so many arguments.
Dude, I would not want to have that rule, though, because then the kid would want to get up hella early.
It's like, but they're in front of the TV. It's like, leave me alone. Go watch the TV.
I'm like, I'm still trying to sleep.
Get away. They had the opposite of grounding. It was a vicarious reader and not much of a socializer. So when I was a kid, I would get grounded outside of my room. It was the worst punishment ever, and I would do anything to avoid it.
Oh, that is so smart, because you know they love their room, they love their books, they'll have a great time. It's not punishment for them.
Right. It's like, okay, I'm going to make you go socialize. Bye.
I'm going to lock your books up, bitch.
The picky eater. I was comically picky eater as a child, and my parents got real fed up with it. So I started in first grade, they made a rule that I had to make dinner one night a week, usually Friday. The idea was that they had to eat whatever I made, just like I had to eat whatever they made the other 6 nights.
Aww.
They got a lot of hot dogs and baked beans and boxed mac and cheese until I started branching out and learned to make tarragon chicken in 2nd grade.
Ooh, look at you, fancy.
Obviously, I was well supervised in the kitchen while cooking to avoid any fires and stovetop mishaps. They also had the rule that I had to at least try a bite of something before refusing to eat it, which I'm actually really grateful for now. I'm still picky, but I'll try anything at least once.
I love that. I love that idea of letting the picky eater like make
cook
dinner.
A meal. Yeah. And actually the whole like try a bite first. Because I have a almost 2-year-old foster brother.
Yes.
Soon to be adopted brother, hopefully. And I watch a lot of the cartoons he watches. One of them being, it's called Tots.
Okay.
It's like toddler something. It's a delivery system. It's basically a whole company of storks. It's really cute. It's like on Disney. It's the stork company, and they take the babies to their forever homes.
Aww.
It's actually really cute because they show, like, gay couples and stuff, too.
Aww.
But they're all animals.
Cute.
So it's all the storks, and then, like, the main characters are, like, a penguin and a flamingo.
So you watch this with or without your foster brother?
Yes. Yes. It's actually very entertaining. Just especially, like, on the background. I'm like, oh, it's cute because they have the cutest little animals. It's like,
You are a child.
Yes, I am a child. So I'm like, I can watch this with you because there's some other shows. I'm like, we're not watching this. But they had an episode in... I've watched this episode many times because my dad thinks it's funny. He also watches these with my brother. And it's this little hippo, and she would only eat her hippo food that came in the shape of O's. So the whole time she's like, O's, O's.
I want some O's.
So my dad calls that Cheerios now. That's how he gets my little brother to eat. He's like, hey, let's eat some O's, O's. And so he'll eat them.
Cute. Thinking of the hippo.
Right. So in that episode, they did, they couldn't figure out what to feed her because they had to feed her before they sent her off to, you know, be delivered. It's like, well, what? She doesn't want to eat anything. So they tried making all these different things and she wasn't eating or trying any of them. She's like, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
And so they came up with the rule of the no thank you bite. To where you take a bite of something and you have to take a bite. And if you don't like it, you just say, no, thank you. You don't want a second bite.
Mm.
But you had to take a bite first. Then you could say, no, thank you. And so that was the whole idea of it. And so it's like a no thank you bite.
Is your foster brother doing that?
He likes to do it to me. He tries to feed me his food.
Aw, sharing.
He'll have his snacks and he'll be hungry. So he'll eat it sometimes. But then he'll like put it in my mouth, like his drink or his food. I'm like, no, thank you.
You better. You have to try it, though.
I've seen where those hands have been.
Got to teach him by showing him.
I changed his diaper. I know what he was grabbing.
Ew.
But like, I'll either pretend to eat it and be like, no, thank you.
No, thank you. It's yours.
Okay, your turn. So what do you have any rules that you remember besides like the little poker chip?
The poker chips. We had one where we had to get. If my mom bought something at the store,
mm-hmm.
like a bag of Doritos, they had to at least last 7 days or okay. she would not buy them again. So we would eat all of it, and except for a little bit of it for the seventh day, and be like, you have to buy more because like, there's still a little left. Dude, I was such a pain in the ass. Oh,
you
man.
Were.
Well, I still am. I am not one with rules. I'm not one to be told what to do.
You remind me of that picture of that little boy who it says he's not allowed to play his like on his little tablet or whatever in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But he's not allowed to have food in the living room. So his whole body and his snack is in the kitchen and then his tablet is in the living room.
That
so he's
is
just watching it from the kitchen.
Literally me yes. as a child and as of now. Like with the whole like swearing thing. Wait. Yeah. With the whole. I don't remember what I was going to say.
And you swore.
Good.
You're goober.
Good. Oh, yeah. I remember what I was going to say. With the whole like swearing thing, mm-hmm. Once I learned the whole like First Amendment and the freedom of speech, mm-hmm. it was all over. I was like, you, yes, are my parent and I am your child, but I am my own person. Therefore, I have my First Amendment and I have the freedom of speech, which means F this and F that. Like,
yeah, then they could have come back if they were smart enough and been like, yeah, you do have the freedom to say whatever you want, but you're not free of the consequences that come from that.
Dude, give them to me. Like, I don't know. They tried a bunch of things, but didn't really work.
No.
I've kind of always been this amazing. And this much of a pain in the ass.
I like that you included that part.
Yeah.
I think it does balance both out. Because you are your own brand of you.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. What about you?
The one that came to mind, the first one, was we were not allowed to, like, slam doors. Like, not necessarily even out of anger. Just, like, even if you're running around, you slam a door. But if you do it out of anger, it was even worse. Like, that was... Now that I'm older, I realize, like, it's just a sign of disrespect.
Really?
So, like, it... God, you know, it would be awful. Like, to this day, I still do this. If you ever see me do this, or if I ever accidentally slam a door, you'll immediately see me apologize. Like, if there's a crosswind or whatever, you know, the yeah. windows are open and like you close the door and it just slams, you immediately, I'm like, sorry, I didn't, that wasn't a slam, that wasn't me. Like
so even if it's not out of anger, it's
like if you're
still...
just slamming it just to be obnoxious.
Well, like some doors, just like my garage door at my house is the most
right.
You just close it regularly mm-hmm. and it sounds like you slammed
right.
it.
But ours weren't. Like, so you could tell when something was slammed either out of carelessness, anger.
Would your parents get pissed off?
Be like, hey! And it's like, sorry. Like, there was like, we would get in trouble.
Dang.
And it's like, I never realized that not a lot of people did that. Because whenever I accidentally, like, even if I throw a car door too hard, like, especially somebody else's, it's like, sorry, no. Like, it's not a disrespect thing. It's like, I respect you and your property. Like,
it's both
a sign of respect towards the property and the person.
Oh, weird.
It's like, because, you know, you see, that's the stereotype. Like, when you're mad, you slam the door. Screw you. It's like a way
oh, hell yeah.
of giving someone the middle finger.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's definitely a way to get your point across.
Right. But yeah, that was very much a no-no at our house.
So do you do it if you're ever pissed off? Like, intentionally?
I don't know if I do. I think just because I know I would immediately instinctively apologize. Yeah. And that's like, not the point.
I'm so mad at you slamming the door. Wait, but I didn't mean to slam the door. I'm still really mad, but.
It's like, sorry, door.
Let me just close this lightly.
Oh, man. Yeah, we weren't allowed to do a whole lot growing up.
Well, I remember I see the meme sometimes that goes around with the whole, speaking of cars, when you're lost or like even when you're in the back or mm-hmm. something, you can't have that light on.
Yes.
And that was a huge, like, it's illegal. It's illegal. And I actually don't think it is illegal.
I don't think it is. But you, like, my mom's like, your dad can't see. And my thought was, he's blind.
Yeah,
he can't
like
see
this,
anything.
This light is blinding him. When in reality, like, I can drive with that light on fine.
If it's nighttime, there are times where it does get obnoxious. Like, okay, get off. Like, I have a hard time focusing. Which, fun fact, I feel like I've kind of known this for, like, a year or two.
Hmm.
But it's really become prevalent the last week.
What?
I think of astigmatism.
What is astigmatism? I know it has to do with your eyes.
Yes.
I remember those commercials.
It's basically, like, people always talked about it. It's like a weird little floaty.
Oh, imagine, hell no.
Like, imagine, like, when you see, like, you know, you brush out, like, an old blanket, you see all the little fuzzies
yeah.
or, like, the little strings that fly around. Imagine that. Just anytime you try to focus on it.
That sounds so terrible.
Oh, it's not super noticeable, but your instinct is to, like, focus on it. And then when you focus on it, it goes away. And, like, it floats away from, like, so if I'm looking at it straight on, it'll float to, like, the lower portion of my eye.
Oh, I never knew that was what astigmatism was.
That's from what I understood, like, from what I've kind of gathered from other people explaining it. I've never gone to the eye doctor for it.
Girl, you should. Because I think they can help with that, right?
Yeah. And, like, I've never, I had that once happen to me when I was hanging out with some people. I'm like, is this astigmatism when this happens? And they're like, yeah, that kind of sounds like it. And then yesterday I was kind of relaxing after moving a bunch of stuff. And I played a game where I'm like, yep, nope, this is lasting 5 minutes. I keep trying to chase this stupid thing.
Oh,
and it's on my left eye, so I'm like,
that sounds like a headache and a half.
It's like, where are you? Come on.
Vicky keeps, like, doing it with her eyes, and it's making my eyes hurt just watching her do it.
So it's that fun game.
Well, getting old. Gotta get that eyesight check, girl.
Right. That's fun. but I'm trying. Oh, yeah, so I do. Going back to just that light thing. Yeah, it does bug me.
Yeah, when
times.
It's on.
I also, kind of dealing with lights, dealing with astigmatism, I read a thing, and it was a meme, I don't know, I think I looked it up, I think it was accurate, like Snopes did or whatever, where if you're driving and you see, I have to find the picture because it's more of a visual thing, like at night, if you're driving behind a bunch of cars and the lights are there, it looks like the lights are kind of being stretched.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Like
kind of blurry in a sense.
Kind of, yeah. Like you kind of focus on it and it looks like it's kind of...
Is that astigmatism?
That's what this was saying. It's like this is how you see the cars, you probably have astigmatism or this is part of the astigmatism. Like, oh, I see that all the time. That's not normal.
Knock on wood. No, it's not normal. And I don't have good vision, so...
Yeah.
But maybe I don't have astigmatism, which is nice.
Right. I'm like, oh... Okay, that's kind of what, that was the second clue. I'm like, this might actually be a thing I have.
This isn't what everyone else sees.
Hmm. Oh, that's not normal?
Weird.
Okay. but did you have any rules with like dinner time or anything? Like you had a...
We had to eat everything on our plate.
Okay.
Which I wish they did not tell me to do. At such a young age, because I do it now all the time. I have to eat everything on my plate.
Yes!
And
I hate that.
Yeah, I wish, because now I feel very wasteful if I don't.
Even if you say, like, oh, I'll save it for later.
Yeah, I have friends who have no problem just half their meal's still there. Either they take it home or they don't take it home and they don't care.
That, like, bugs me so much when I'm out with friends and, like, they eat half their meal. And, like, the other half, I'm like, okay, you could definitely box it up, heat it up later.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some enchiladas or whatever. And they're like, no, I'm good. I'm done.
Sometimes I'm like, I'll take yours if it's vegetarian.
Yes.
But
yes.
Sometimes if we're like bar hopping or something back in the day when we could do that, you're not going to want to carry around food.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But they have no problem like not eating all of it. And I'm like, but then you're eventually going to get hungry. And then aren't you going to wish you did eat all of it?
Because
maybe
like,
you won't get hungry as well.
Like,
yeah. Plus, you spent hella money on this meal.
Right. Like, it just like.
What the heck?
Even when I worked at the restaurant, people, I'm like, oh, would you like a box of this? No, I'm done.
No, you're done. I'll go eat in the back. Thanks. Don't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we always had that rule, which I'm like, oh, man, damn it. You're just making me want to eat everything on my plate always. Mm-hmm. And then we had, like, you know, to eat our vegetables, we, like, broccoli that was, like, smothered in cheese was normal. Like, mm-hmm. that's how we ate broccoli.
I feel like that's how most kids ate broccoli.
Bananas had to be, like, covered in sprinkles. That's how we ate
how
bananas.
I did not like bananas as a kid.
I did not like them, but I loved them when they were covered in sprinkles. Rainbow sprinkles, to be exact.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, just, like, weird stuff like that. We had to eat at the dinner table, like, had to say mm-hmm. grace. Had to, it was, I hated it. Hated it. That's where all of our, like, beefing and arguing
beef
started.
Vegetarian started yeah. beef.
The veggie beefing. Like, for real. Like, that, so many, because we had to be home by when dark happened mm-hmm. or whatever. And in the winter, it's like 4 o'clock.
Right.
Because then we had to have dinner together. And it was the worst thing ever.
See, I actually like having dinner with my family. I hated having to say grace as a kid.
I like having dinner with them now because it's like a few times a year. If I had to have dinner every damn night with them, it would just, like, now it's like, cool. You know, like, how was your day? How was your day? But, like, back in the day, it was like war. Maybe because I was a delightful child.
And a delightful adult.
Yes.
We had to say grace, and I hated it because it always put me on the spot. And like
you had to improv that shit?
Sometimes we did. And it was awesome because once my brother went at Sunday school, like, they made this little craft where out of, like, a tin can, they, like, covered it in construction paper. And on the inside, they printed out little prayers. Like, like little dinner prayers, if you will.
Yeah.
And they, like, quote unquote, laminated. They just put scotch tape over it. So they had, like, 4 or 5 of them. And so it was literally like, okay, whose turn is it? And we would just pull one out.
Oh, yeah. We had a book.
Yeah.
We just had a book full of them. And you just I would just randomly choose one. Yeah. But then on Thanksgiving, we'd have to go around the table and say what we were thankful for. Mm. That was brutal.
No, my dad always, like, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, they always go and do full-on, like, heartfelt ones. My dad's really good, like, those kind of speeches.
But you guys
and
don't
stuff.
Always have to do them.
No, it's not anymore. I hated it. And I remember one, like, we'll still make fun of it because my brother used to say it, like, we all hated it. My brother and I did. So it's like, oh, Vicky, it's your turn. Oh, Juan, it's your turn. And it was like, thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the friends we meet. Thank you, God, for everything. Amen. Like, that was, like, the extent of
these. You say it just exactly
like that. That's exactly how we would say it. It's like,
thank you for this. Thank you
for
that.
Thank you for the friends we meet. It was just so bad. I hated it.
Well, it's like for Thanksgiving when we have to say thank, like, or for their birthday. Like, what? Everyone go around and say something you're thankful for Nikki because it's her birthday.
That's weird.
Like, sometimes I'm like, y'all are going to, like, say some crap or, like, oh, I'm not thankful for you this year. Sorry. Like, you know, like, I'm so real. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm thankful.
Sarah's like, if we have beef, we have all beef. Like, I can't look past it to see the things I love about you.
This year's been really bad for both of us, so do you have anything? No, I don't have anything either. Cool.
I like the idea. Maybe, like, do it anonymously. Make it less awkward. I'll read them later.
Oh,
I'm that person. I hate getting sung happy birthday to.
Oh, see, I love it.
Because it's so awkward. Like, what am I supposed to be doing here while I sit here awkwardly just wanting to not drool all over this cake because I want to eat cake like a
fatty. But see, I would love, like, even if, like, we were beefing all year and you had to go around and say something nice to me. If you were like, dude, we've been at each other's throats all year. Like, I guess I'm thankful you're still alive. Cool, cool. But, like, this year has not been good for us. I'm not going to, like, be it. I would love that. I would be like, I appreciate that.
You know what this reminds me of? There's, I think, I saw a picture of it, and I think it's in Peru or something, or Bolivia or whatever, and it's like a celebration, I think, towards the end of the year. I don't know if it's on Christmas or around that time, where basically anybody you had beef with over the year, you duke it out.
Like, fight them?
You fight them, and then when it's done, you're done, and you forgive each other, and it's done.
Dude, see, that's what's so, like, that's, I've been recently randomly thinking, like, God, sometimes I wish I was a man, but that's
because
another example. Like, there's many examples, but that is another one that it's like, that's literally, they don't care. Sometimes they don't even have to physically fight, but if they do physically fight, then they don't care. I would love that. I'd probably get my ass kicked, though.
I'm curious to see, okay. So we're going to wrap it up here, and I'm going to end it with this question that I want you guys to answer.
Ooh.
And I want as much detail as possible. If Sarah and I were to have gotten into a beef and we had to fight it out to forgive each other, who would win?
Oh, man.
I need to know. I think there's a few details. Like, I think I'd need to know before I would answer. It's like, how fresh is the beef? Because if this happened like a week ago, Sarah's going to come at me like full on raring to go. But this happened back in like January, I might have an edge. It might have faded. I mean, she holds on, but the fire still isn't as there, as present.
I hold on, girl. I mean, that is a good question, though, because I think, I mean, I have my own opinions about it, I guess. But
so you're more agile and flexible, and you have more of the endurance. But you're more sturdy. I'm sturdy, and I got brute force on my end.
Yeah.
I got some heavy hands.
I just think it definitely depends how angry I still am, because I think there would be a fire in me.
Yes.
That would be frightening. Or I would just be a little bitch and just curl up and cry.
That too.
Oh, so it could go either way.
And yes, I found out the holiday, it's in Peru, and it's called Takanakui.
I love that. As long as you don't die.
Yeah, which means to hit each other.
Dude, that is amazing. There has to be like a ref there just so it doesn't get like too crazy.
I feel like you have to do this in front of everyone. Like, it was, like, the picture I saw was, like, everyone was in a circle watching.
I wonder if people, like, train for it.
These just look like regular old Peruvian women.
Yeah, but if I knew that I was going to try to kick someone's ass, I would secretly train on the side. You know what I'm saying?
And I love it because, like, the women wear their cute dresses.
Their Peruvian dresses. Wow, that is so cool.
But I'm sure some of the dudes probably get real into it.
I would get real into it.
Anywho.
Who would win?
Who would win in this fight?
Choose me.
Yeah. Choose her if you want to live. If you want to live.
Ooh, is that a threat?
Oh, I am tiny, but I am feisty.
You are. You really are.
Don't mess with me. All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Welcome to another edition of The Broadcast. I am Vicky Barcelona, and with me as always is Sarah.
Oh, hey.
Sarah, what's your contact info?
Well, we have an Instagram. It's TheBroadcast999. You can call or text us at 253-778-6029, or you can email us at TheBroadcast999@gmail.com.
And last episode was basically all just messages, and I love them.
Yes.
Because they're all very, like,
positive
and awesome.
Yeah,
so bring them on. I want more messages, all of the messages, even if it's something silly,
all
or just
of
questions.
The messages.
But I did find this article on BuzzFeed, and it says people shared weird house rules that they had when they were kids, and holy heck, parents are wild. And it reminded me of this other story. And if you go find it, just type in poop knife? Like Reddit or something, or Imgur. And it's a story about this guy. Apparently, their family were very notorious for having really big turds.
Ew, what?
And so they always kept a knife in their bathroom chop it up, right?
Chop it up?
To, like, make it go down the drain.
Oh, my.
Right? So then he goes.
That's disgusting.
He doesn't realize that this is not a normal thing until he goes to a friend's house when he's older. And he's like, hey, where's your poop knife? And they're like, what are you talking about? And so it blew up on the internet. Like,
first of all, isn't that why you have a plunger?
It won't go down. It's not that it clogs it. It won't go down.
Ew. Oh, that is not okay.
But, you know, maybe this is less about rules. Like, or less, this is more rules as opposed to, like, weird crap you have in your bathroom. No pun intended. So I'm going to read you some of these, and I want you to think of any weird, like, rules you had in your house.
Okay.
Like, I have one in my mind so far. So they had TV-less Sunday, this one person says. My house had no TV Sundays where we couldn't watch anything between the hours of 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. The rule was usually relax in the winter when we couldn't go outside. But even then, we usually had to find something to do until it got dark out.
I feel like that's actually kind of and okay. I mean, I love me some TV, don't get me wrong. But, you know, like, for kids, especially nowadays, and, like, the tablets and the iPhones and the computers, like, I think that's, like, no electronics maybe for a certain amount of time.
See, I feel like, I don't know if Sunday is a day off.
It's a day of rest.
Right.
Supposedly.
So I'm like, well, if I was going to have like no TV, or I mean, I don't know. I feel like
you would never have no TV. I mean, no, I love TV. But I hear it's like bad to like keep little kids in front of screens all the time. So I get like, right. No, this is the time we all put our screens away. We have to actually hang out with each other.
But I'm wondering how old this person is, because if it was like if they're our age or older, it makes a little more sense because there wasn't so much other screens. Like when we were kids, it was TV. Like we really loved watching TV. My brother and I like movies over and over again. You had your Barney. We had our Disney movies.
I loved me some Barney.
But
I would think TV means like all screens nowadays. Right.
My thinking is, though, if you're going to be doing that, like especially in the winter, it depends also how old the kids are, because I'm just picturing like go entertain yourself. It's like, OK, Mom. Come play with us, like color with us, or
I would think like they'd all play tag, or they'd go out and
or play board games, like kid games,
yeah, or throw the ball around or whatever people do.
So like, because I'm just picturing like, get the hell out of here, kid. Go do a thing.
No, at that rate, do whatever you want. Go watch all the TV. I don't care.
Right, exactly.
As long as you're bothering my ass.
Leave me alone. Another one is the even odd rule. So it was just my sister and me, and we argued about everything. So my parents enforced an even odd rule. So my sister got to choose first, and she was younger. She chose even. So on even days, she was able to decide who sat up front or what TV shows we watched. Still to this day, I prefer odd numbers.
I love that rule.
I think it's fair. It's
because it's like even odd, different months. There's different like days or how many days or whatever. But it's not like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then the other person gets Tuesday, Thursday, you know, because then there's that one day. It's like it's going to switch.
Right. It's
every
like,
day
okay.
of the week.
Yeah, like it's
I like that.
Like, okay, it's the 23rd. So on the 23rd, you pick. And on the 24th, you pick.
Yeah.
So don't argue. Like, that's just law. Actually, it's not bad.
I like it.
This one, I don't get it. I mean, in my head, in my world.
Okay.
Like, this is ridiculous. No lying on the couch. My dad hated any of the kids lying on the sectional couch. If anyone laid down on it or laid down on it, he immediately said, go to bed or sit up. Couches aren't for sleeping. Ironically, he slept on the couch for 16 years since he didn't have enough room for the 9 of us. So maybe he just didn't want us on his bed. None of us were really that worried about it. But as an adult, I now lounge all over my couch just because I can.
Yeah, dude, that's like my friend's dad. You could not lay on the bed if you had your street clothes on.
Okay.
Like you had to I don't know if you had to take a shower and then get your pajamas. I think it was. They were a little crazy. But you either had
clean freak.
Like you had to be in your pajamas and I think shower before to be able to lie in your bed.
I think depending on the age of the kids, because I see my little foster brother come home from daycare and he's covered in dirt.
No, we were high school.
Yeah, it's.
Like, even if your shoes, I get this whole shoes thing, but even if your shoes are off, you could not lay in the bed with, your regular clothes.
That's weird.
And nowadays, I take naps all the time in my regular clothes. I'm laying on that bed all the days.
For little kids, it's you're gross.
Yeah, if you're gross, but I'd come home after school. Laying in the bed.
I hate laying in bed, when I'm dirty. If I've been spending the whole day cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning my house, and I'm dirty, my feet are dirty, I can't lay in my bed if I'm dirty.
Yeah.
You just take a nice shower, it just feels so much more relaxed.
So much better.
But, I'm going to lay on my bed when I'm clean.
Whenever the hell I want to.
And same with the couch. I read this, a quote or whatever, one of those inspirational quotes on Facebook or whatever, and it says, no one, at your funeral, no one's going to be like, well, she had really nice shoes and a really cool couch. Or,
dude, that's a lie. At your funeral, I'm saying you had the most comfortable bed ever.
Yes, exactly. The idea is, you don't want a couch. Don't ever get a couch you can't, relax on, or get a coffee table you'd be afraid to put your feet on. That sort of thing.
Oh, but people do. People spend hella money on that stuff, though.
If you had, Kim Kardashian money and had, your designated, formal, living room, sure, go for it. But for me, it's, at my house, I want to be able to put my feet up. I don't really have a table. I have,
An ottoman.
An ottoman that opens up and you can put blankets in it.
Oh.
It's I need to be able to put my feet up. I want to lay on my couch. I want to lounge.
No.
That is my, it needs to be comfortable.
Yeah, I feel like maybe.
That's the kind of life I want for me is what I mean.
Maybe when you get older, when you start having kids or you have hella money to get a really nice couch or something and something where it's kids aren't freaking on allowed on this type of thing? Because like my parents got a very, very, very expensive for them. I don't know how much it was. This was years ago couch. And like we couldn't even like
look bring at it.
Food. Pretty much. We couldn't bring like we'd always sit. We couldn't bring food on it. Obviously couldn't have our shoes on it. Could like it was the couch. And now they don't care because it's like so old. But right. I was like, damn, you guys are trying to be all fancy and you guys are not fancy.
Like I get maybe trying to like, okay, you kids are going to ruin it. So let's try to take the longest time. Like I just recently.
To ruin it. Yeah.
I recently washed all my carpeting, which is like my stairs and all my upstairs is all carpet.
So okay.
I full on with like the carpet cleaner, cleaned it all. So I've been very adamant to take my shoes off before I
was
going to
say, are you a no shoes household?
Downstairs is totally fine because it's wood.
Yeah.
Upstairs, no. But like if there's like an emergency, like I'm about to, you know, pee myself, but I still try to like take my shoes off. But there's been a couple of times I've gone up, but very rarely.
See, that's what's always as crazy is most households, I feel like, when I was growing up, are shoes off. But my household wasn't. My mom and dad didn't care at all if you had shoes on. Mm-hmm. And I love it. Still, people come over. And we used to have carpet all over our house. And now we don't anymore. But people used to come over and be like, shoes off? Should I take my shoes off? And we're like, no, we don't care. Whatever. That's always just been how it is. And everyone's like, really? I can have my shoes on in here? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. My parents don't care, which is weird because my dad's anal about everything. But I've always been like, yeah, but keep your shoes on.
See, for me, it's a weird thing. And maybe it was just because my dad worked a lot when I was a kid. So whenever I see people hanging out and like when people lounge at their house in jeans or just hanging out in jeans.
That's weird, though.
Or their shoes on. Like, I know Danny says he does this. I can't. Like
even at other people's houses, though, I get in your own house. Like, it's a comfortable like I always put slippers on. But like
let's say I come over to your house and we're just there to watch TV and hang out.
Yeah,
I will probably wear something comfortable like leggings. I might wear my pajamas because I've done that before.
Hell yeah.
But I'm not going to be walking around like hanging out in my shoes. Like if I'm going to be there for a couple hours, we're going to watch like you have a TV marathon going on. My shoes are off. Like I'm going to get comfortable.
Some people just like having their shoes on. It's so weird because my dad and my boyfriend have house shoes.
Like and that's
specific like but they're sneakers.
That's also weird. Like, they're I like my slippers.
Sneakers. Yeah.
I have my fuzzy slippers.
Yeah, I got my slippers too, but.
Yeah. So this one's funny. This was a country music hater. It's like my parents were pretty strict and we had a lot of rules growing up. But the weirdest one was no country music. Seriously. My dad grew up in a small town in Idaho and hated anything country. My dad isn't a man of many words until someone tries to blast it in the house.
Oh! Does he just start yelling?
Just like, turn
that ass off.
This family had a foot bath rule. So if we had been outside wearing open-toed shoes, we had to wash our feet when we got back inside. I still do this as an adult, and I hate the feeling of having dirty hands and feet.
That's weird, though.
Like, if I'm walking around, like, I'll walk, like, outside to, like, my porch area and stuff, like, with no shoes on, like, when it's hot out.
Yeah.
And I'll walk in my downstairs area with no shoes. But, like, when I go into bed, I'll wash my feet. I don't have to wash my feet when I come
in.
Yeah,
but if I'm going to go for a walk and I wear flip-flops and I come home, I don't feel like my feet got that dirty. If dirty, see, like.
Depends for me. Like, sometimes mine will if I'm wearing flip-flops. Other sandals, not so much. But flip-flops, I don't know if it's just I don't know how to walk in them. They flap
maybe
all over.
Maybe yours are just, like, naturally really dirty.
I don't know. I have no idea. The TV payment. So we had TV chips.
Mm-hmm.
Every poker chip corresponded to 30 minutes of television.
Hey, we had that.
Did it work?
No. Hell no.
It says, my sister and I would start with a certain number of chips per week, I think 15, in a yogurt container with a lid. And we each had our own color of chips. So for every 30 minutes of television we watched, we had to drop a chip into a large metal bowl. They would reset at the end of the week, and there were certain restrictions on how many we could roll over the next week. There were also opportunities to earn more chips by doing chores or to lose chips for behaving badly.
Yep. We had the poker chip. We had for the TV, and I think for swearing, too. You'd only have, like, no, maybe the swearing was with money. You had to pay every time you swore. But I would just pay hella money up front. Like $5 or $10, you know.
Be like, burn.
Be like, this is for my entire week, mother effers. Yeah, rules didn't really work.
I remember in middle school, 8th grade, I had a teacher, and it was one of those block classes. I think it was English and
social studies.
Yeah,
or
something like that, history or whatever. And what he would do is that I think he was also a PE teacher or like a sports
Dang, this guy did it all.
I think, no, you know what? I think he just taught a, he was a coach, one of the sports coaches. And where our class was, it was a portable and it was right next to the gym. So on Fridays, so every week, every class or every block class had 30 minutes. So on Fridays, if we were good, we would have 30 minutes to go play like in the gym. So we would play basketball. We could just hang out. We could, you know, if you wanted to read, if you wanted to talk with your friends, it was your 30 minutes of hangout time. And he would play basketball with us. It was a really cool idea. And if we were bad, like when the class wouldn't shut up, he would just quietly go over there and start taking number, like it's just like, oh, 30, now it's 29.
Oh, taking down the minutes.
Yeah, and if people still didn't shut up, oh, no, it's 28. So anytime anybody was bad, he would just take down the minutes. Ooh. I think the least amount we ever got was like 10 minutes.
And he's like, damn it, you guys, I really want you guys to have this 30 minutes so I can just chill, too.
And hang out. And that's like all the classes. And I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah, that's smart. I like that.
And like that way you can also bond with the kids. And like, it's Friday. Nobody's really learning anything.
Yeah, come on, let's go.
This one was an early riser. When I was growing up, Saturday mornings were reserved for cartoons. I have three younger siblings, and inevitably we would argue about who got to choose what cartoon to watch. So my mom made the rule that whoever got up first on Saturday controlled the TV for cartoon viewing. This rule was eliminated, this rule eliminated so many arguments.
Dude, I would not want to have that rule, though, because then the kid would want to get up hella early.
It's like, but they're in front of the TV. It's like, leave me alone. Go watch the TV.
I'm like, I'm still trying to sleep.
Get away. They had the opposite of grounding. It was a vicarious reader and not much of a socializer. So when I was a kid, I would get grounded outside of my room. It was the worst punishment ever, and I would do anything to avoid it.
Oh, that is so smart, because you know they love their room, they love their books, they'll have a great time, it's not punishment for them.
Right, it's like, okay, I'm going to make you go socialize, bye.
I'm going to lock your books up, bitch.
The picky eater. I was comically picky eater as a child, and my parents got real fed up with it. So I started in first grade, they made a rule that I had to make dinner one night a week, usually Friday. The idea was that they had to eat whatever I made, just like I had to eat whatever they made the other six nights.
Aww.
They got a lot of hot dogs and baked beans and box mac and cheese until I started branching out and learned to make tarragon chicken in second grade.
Ooh, look okay, at you. Fancy.
Obviously, I was well supervised in the kitchen while cooking to avoid any fires and stovetop mishaps. They also had the rule that I had to at least try a bite of something before refusing to eat it, which I'm actually really grateful for now. I'm still picky, but I'll try anything at least once.
I love that. I love that idea of letting the picky eater like make
cook
dinner.
A meal. Yeah. And actually the whole like try a bite first. So because I have a almost 2-year-old foster brother.
Yes.
Soon to be adopted brother, hopefully. And I watch a lot of the cartoons he watches. One of them being, it's called Tots.
Okay.
It's like toddler something. It's a delivery system. It's basically a whole company of storks. It's really cute. It's like on Disney. It's the store company, and they take the babies to their forever homes.
Aww.
It's actually really cute because they show like gay couples and stuff too.
Aww.
But they're all animals.
Cute.
So it's all the storks, and then like the main characters are like a penguin and a flamingo.
So you watch this with or without your foster brother?
Yes. Yes. It's actually very entertaining. Just especially like on the background, I'm like, oh, it's cute because they have the cutest little animals. It's like,
you are a child.
Yes, I am a child. So I'm like, I can watch this with you because there's some other shows. I'm like, we're not watching this. But they had an episode in. I've watched this episode many times because my dad thinks it's funny. He also watches these with my brother. And it's this little hippo, and she would only eat her hippo food that came in the shape of O's. So the whole time she's like, O's, O's.
I want some O's.
So my dad calls that Cheerios now. That's how he gets my little brother to eat. He's like, hey, let's eat some O's, O's. And so he'll eat them.
Cute. Thinking of the hippo.
Right. So in that episode, they did. They couldn't figure out what to feed her because they had to feed her before they sent her off to, you know, be delivered. It's like, well, what? She doesn't want to eat anything. So they tried making all these different things, and she wasn't eating or trying any of them. She's like, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
And so they came up with the rule of the no thank you bite, to where you take a bite of something, and you have to take a bite. And if you don't like it, you just say no thank you. You don't want a second bite.
Mm.
But you had to take a bite first. Then you could say no thank you. And so that was the whole idea of it. And so it's like a no thank you bite.
Is your foster brother doing that? Is he?
He likes to do it to me. He tries to feed me his food.
Aww, like caring.
He'll have a snack, and he'll be hungry, so he'll eat it sometimes. But then he'll like put it in my mouth, like his drink or his food. I'm like, no, thank you.
You better. You have to try it, though.
I've
you
seen
gotta,
where those hands have been. I do
gotta,
not.
You got to teach him by showing him.
I changed his diaper. I know what he was grabbing.
Ew.
But like, I'll either pretend to eat it and be like, no, thank you.
No, thank you. It's yours.
Okay, your turn. So what, do you have any rules that you remember besides like the little poker chip?
The poker chips, we had one where we had to get, if my mom bought something at the store, like a bag of Doritos, they had to at least last 7 days or she would not buy them again. So we would eat all of it, and except for a little bit of it for the seventh day, and be like, you have to buy more because... Like,
it's there's still, here.
Still a little left. Dude, I was such a pain in the ass. Oh, you man. Were. Well, I still am. I am not one with rules. I'm not one to be told what to do.
You remind me of that picture of that little boy who it says he's not allowed to play his like on his little tablet or whatever in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But he's not allowed to have food in the living room. So his whole body and his snack is in the kitchen and then his tablet is in the living room.
That
so he's
is
just watching it from the kitchen.
Literally me as a child and as of now. Like with the whole like swearing thing. Wait. Yeah, with the whole... I don't remember what I was going to say.
And you swore.
Good.
You're goober.
Good. Oh, yeah, I remember what I was going to say. With the whole, like, swearing thing, once I learned the whole, like, First Amendment and the freedom of speech, it was all over. I was like, you, yes, are my parent, and I am your child, but I am my own person. Therefore, I have my First Amendment, and I have the freedom of speech, which means F this and F that. And like,
yeah, then they could have come back if they were smart enough and been like, yeah, you do have the freedom to say whatever you want, but you're not free of the consequences that come from that.
Dude, give them to me. Like, I don't know. They tried a bunch of things, but didn't really work.
No.
I've kind of always been this amazing. And this much of a pain in the ass.
I like that you included that part.
Yeah.
I think it does balance both out. Because you are your own brand of you.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. What about you?
The one that came to mind, the first one, was we were not allowed to, like, slam doors. Like, not necessarily even out of anger. Just, like, even if you're running around, you slam a door. But if you do it out of anger, it was even worse. Like, that was... Now that I'm older, I realize, like, it's just a sign of disrespect.
Really?
So, like, it... God, you know, it would be awful. Like, to this day, I still do this. If you ever see me do this, or if I ever accidentally slam a door, you'll immediately see me apologize. Like, if there's a crosswind or whatever, you know, the windows are open and like you close the door and it just slams, you immediately, I'm like, sorry, I didn't. That wasn't a slam. That wasn't me. Like.
So even if it's not out of anger, it's
like if you're
still...
just slamming it just to be obnoxious.
Well, like some doors, just like my garage door at my house is the most.
Right.
You don't even, you just close it regularly and it sounds like you slammed it.
But ours weren't. Like, so you could tell when something was slammed either out of carelessness, anger.
Would your parents get pissed off?
Be like, hey! And it's like, sorry. Like, there was like, we would get in trouble.
Dang.
And it's like, I never realized that not a lot of people did that. Because whenever I accidentally, like, even if I throw a car door too hard, like, especially somebody else's, it's like, sorry, no. Like, it's not a disrespect thing. It's like, I respect you and your property. Like,
it's both
a sign of respect towards the property and the person.
Oh, weird.
It's like, because, you know, you see, that's the stereotype. Like, when you're mad, you slam the door. Screw you. It's like a way
of
giving someone the middle finger.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's definitely a way to get your point across.
Right. But yeah, that was very much a no-no at our house.
So do you do it if you're ever pissed off? Like, intentionally?
I don't know if I do. I think it's just because I know I'd immediately instinctively apologize. Yeah. And that's, like, not the point.
I'm so mad at you slamming the door. Wait, but I didn't mean to slam the door. I'm still really mad, but...
It's like, sorry, door.
Let me just close this lightly.
Oh, man. Yeah, we weren't allowed to do a whole lot growing up.
Well, I remember I see the meme sometimes that goes around with the whole, speaking of cars, when you're lost, or like even when you're in the back or something, you can't have that light on.
Yes.
And that was a huge, like, it's illegal. And I actually don't think it is illegal.
I don't think it is. But you, like, my mom's like, your dad can't see. And my thought was, he's blind.
Yeah,
he can't
like
see
this,
anything.
This light is blinding him. When in reality, like, I can drive with that light on fine.
If it's nighttime, there are times where it does get obnoxious. Like, okay, get off. Like, I have a hard time focusing. Which, fun fact, I feel like I've kind of known this for, like, a year or two. But it's really become prevalent the last week.
What?
I think of astigmatism.
What is astigmatism? I know it has to do with your eyes.
Yes.
I remember those commercials.
It's basically, like, people always talked about it. It's like a weird little floaty.
Oh, imagine, hell no.
Like, imagine, like, when you see, like, you know, you brush out, like, an old blanket, you see all the little fuzzies
yeah.
or, like, the little strings that fly around. Imagine that. Just anytime you try to focus on
that
it.
That sounds so terrible.
Oh, it's not super noticeable, but your instinct is to, like, focus on it, and then when you focus on it, it goes away. And, like, it floats away from, like, so if I'm looking at it straight on, it'll float to, like, the lower portion of my eye.
Oh, I never knew that was what astigmatism was.
That's from what I understood, like, from what I've kind of gathered from other people explaining it. I've never gone to the eye doctor for it.
Girl, you should, because I think they can help with that, right?
Yeah, and, like, I've never... I had that once happen to me when I was hanging out with some people. I'm like, is this astigmatism when this happens? And they're like, yeah, that kind of sounds like it. And then yesterday I was kind of relaxing after moving a bunch of stuff. And I played a game where I'm like, yep, nope, this is lasting 5 minutes. I keep trying to chase this stupid thing.
Oh, no.
And it's on my left eye. So I'm like,
that sounds like a headache and a half.
It's like, where are you? Come on.
Vicky keeps like doing it with her eyes, and it's making my eyes hurt just watching her do it.
So it's a lot of fun little... That fun game.
Well, getting old. Got to get that eyesight check, girl.
Right. That's fun. but I'm trying. Oh, yeah. So I do, going back to just that light thing. Yeah, it does bug me.
Yeah, when times. It's on.
I also, kind of dealing with lights, dealing with astigmatism, I read a thing, and it was a meme. I don't know. I think I looked it up. I think it was accurate, like Snopes did or whatever. Where if you're driving and you see, I have to find the picture because it's more of a visual thing, like at night, if you're driving behind a bunch of cars and the lights are there, it looks like the lights are kind of being stretched.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Like
kind of blurry in a sense.
Kind of, yeah. Like you kind of focus on it and it looks like it's kind of...
Is that astigmatism?
That's what this was saying. It's like if you, this is how you see the cars, you probably have astigmatism, or this is part of the astigmatism. Like, oh, I see that all the time. That's not normal.
Knock on wood. No, it's not normal. And I don't have good vision. So,
yeah.
But maybe I don't have astigmatism, which is nice.
Right. I'm like, oh, okay. That's kind of what, that was the second clue. I'm like, this might actually be a thing I have.
This isn't what everyone else sees. Hmm.
Oh, that's not normal.
Weird.
Okay. but did you have any rules with like dinner time or anything? Like you had a...
We had to eat everything on our plate.
Okay.
Which I wish... They did not tell me to do at such a young age because I do it now all the time. I have to eat everything on my plate.
Yes.
And I
hate that.
Yeah. I wish, because now I feel very wasteful if I don't. And, but
even
I have
you
friends.
You say, you're like, oh, I'll save it for later.
Yeah. I have friends who have no problem just half their meal still there. Either they take it home or they don't take it home and they don't care.
That like bugs me so much when I'm out with friends and like they eat half their meal and like the other half I'm like, okay, you could definitely box it up, heat it up later,
yeah.
like, you know, some enchiladas or whatever. And they're like, no, I'm good. I'm done.
Sometimes I'm like, I'll take yours if it's vegetarian.
Yes.
But
yes.
Sometimes if we're like bar hopping or something back in the day when we could do that, you're not going to want to carry around food.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But they have no problem like not eating all of it. And I'm like, but then you're eventually going to get hungry. And then aren't you going to wish you did eat all of it?
Because yeah,
maybe
like,
you won't get hungry
money.
As fast.
Like,
yeah. Plus, you spent hella money on this meal.
Right. Like, it just like.
What the heck?
Even when I worked at the restaurant, people, I'm like, oh, would you like a box of this? No, I'm done.
No, you're done. I'll go eat in the back. Thanks. Don't tell.
Yeah.
Nobody's just like, oh, can you change?
Yeah.
So we always had that rule, which I'm like, oh, man, damn it. You're just making me want to eat everything on my plate always.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had like, you know, to eat our vegetables. We like broccoli that was like smothered in cheese was normal. Like
mm-hmm.
That's how we ate broccoli.
I feel like that's how most kids ate broccoli.
Bananas had to be like covered in sprinkles. That's how we ate
how
bananas.
I did not like bananas as a kid.
I did not like them, but I love them when they were covered in sprinkles. Rainbow sprinkles, to be exact.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, just like weird stuff like that. We had to eat at the dinner table, like had to say
mm-hmm.
grace. I hated it. Hated it. That's
Ugh.
Where all of our like beefing and arguing
beef
started.
Vegetarian started
yeah.
beef.
The veggie beefing. Like for real. Like that so many because we had to be home by when dark happened
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And in the winter it's like 4 o'clock.
Right.
Because then we had to have dinner together. And it was the worst thing ever.
See, I actually like having dinner with my family. I hated having to say grace as a kid.
I like having dinner with them now because it's like a few times a year. If I had to have dinner every damn night with them, it would just like now it's like cool. You know, like how was your day? Oh, how was your day? But like back in the day, it was like war. Maybe because I was a delightful child.
And a delightful adult.
Yes.
We had to say grace, and I hated it because it always put me on the spot. And like,
like you had to improv that shit?
Sometimes we did. And it was awesome because once my brother went at Sunday school, like they made this little craft where out of like a tin can, they like covered it in construction paper. And on the inside, they printed out little prayers. Dinner prayers, if you will.
Yeah.
And they like quote unquote laminated. They just put scotch tape over it. So they had like four or five of them. And so it was literally like, okay, whose turn is it? And we would just pull one out.
Oh, yeah. We had a book.
Yeah.
We just had a book full of them. And you I would just randomly choose one. Yeah. But then on Thanksgiving, we'd have to go around the table and say what we were thankful for. That was brutal.
No, my dad always, like, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, they always go and do full-on, like, heartfelt ones. My dad's really good, like, those kind of speeches.
But you guys
and stuff.
Don't always have to do them.
No, it's not anymore. I hated it. And I remember one, like, we'll still make fun of it because my brother used to say it, like, we all hated it. My brother and I did. So it's like, oh, Vicky, it's your turn. Oh, Juan, it's your turn. And it was like, thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the friends we meet. Thank you, God, for everything. Amen. Like, that was, like, the extent
you
of
say
these.
It just exactly
that's
like
exactly
that.
How we would say it. It's like,
thank you for this. Thank you.
Yeah.
For that.
Thank you for the friends we meet. It was just so bad. I hated it.
Well, it's like for Thanksgiving when we have to say or for their birthday, like what you, everyone go around and say something you're thankful for Nikki
because
it's her birthday.
That's weird.
Like sometimes I'm like, y'all are gonna like say some crap or like, oh, I'm not thankful for you this year. Sorry. Like, you know, like I'm so real. Like I don't know what to say. Like. I'm thankful.
Sarah's like, if we have beef, we have all beef. Like, I can't look past it to see the things I love about you.
This year's been really bad for both of us. So, do you have anything? No, I don't have anything either. Cool.
I like the idea. Maybe like do it anonymously and make it less awkward. I'll read them later.
Oh,
I'm that person. Like, I hate getting sung happy birthday to.
Oh, see, I love it.
Because it's so awkward. Like, what am I supposed to be doing here while I sit here awkwardly just wanting to not drool all over this cake because I want to eat cake like a
fatty. But see, I would love, like, even if, like, we were beefing all year and you had to go around and say something nice to me. If you were like, dude, we've been at each other's throats all year. Like, I guess I'm thankful you're still alive. Cool. But, like, this year's not been good for us. I'm not going to, like, be it. I would love that. I would be like, I appreciate that.
You know what this reminds me of? There's, I think, I saw a picture of it, and I think it's in Peru or something, or Bolivia or whatever, and it's like a celebration, I think, towards the end of the year. I don't know if it's on Christmas or around that time, where basically anybody you had beef with over the year, you duke it out.
Like fight them.
You fight them, and then when it's done, you're done, and you forgive each other, and it's done.
Dude, see, that's what's so like. That's I've been recently randomly thinking, like, God, sometimes I wish I was a man. But that's
because
another example. Like, there's many examples, but that is another one that it's like that's literally they don't care. Sometimes they don't even have to physically fight. But if they do physically fight, then they don't care. I would love that. I'd probably get my ass kicked though.
I'm curious to see. Okay. So we're going to wrap it up here, and I'm going to end it with this question that I want you guys to answer.
Ooh.
And I want as much detail as possible. If Sarah and I were to have gotten into a beef and we had to fight it out to forgive each other, who would win?
Oh, man.
I need to know. I think there's a few details. Like, I think I need to know before I would answer. It's like, how fresh is the beef? Because if this happened like a week ago, Sarah's going to come at me like, full on raring to go. But this happened back in like January. I might have an edge. It might have faded. I mean, she holds on, but the fire still isn't as there, as present.
I hold on, girl. I mean, that is a good question, though, because I think, I mean, I have my own opinions about it, I guess. But
so you're more agile and flexible, and you have more of the endurance.
But you're more sturdy.
I'm sturdy, and I got brute force on my end.
Yeah.
I got some heavy hands.
I just think it definitely depends how angry I still am, because I think there would be a fire in me.
Yes.
That would be frightening. Or I would just be a little bitch and just curl up and cry.
That too.
Oh, so it could go either way.
And yes, I found out the holiday, it's in Peru, and it's called Takanakui.
I love that. As long as you don't die.
Yeah, which means to hit each other.
Dude, that is amazing. There has to be like a ref there just so it doesn't get like too crazy.
I feel like you have to do this in front of everyone. Like it was like the picture I saw was like everyone was in a circle watching.
I wonder if people like train for it.
These just look like regular old Peruvian women.
Yeah, but if I knew that I was going to try to kick someone's ass, I would secretly train on the side. You know what I'm saying?
And I love it because like the women wear their cute dresses.
Wow, that is so cool.
But I'm sure some of the dudes probably get real into it.
I would get real into it.
Anywho. But
who would win?
Who would win in this fight?
Choose me.
Yeah. Choose her if you want to live. If you want to live.
Ooh, is that a threat?
Oh, I am tiny, but I am feisty.
You are. You really are.
Don't mess with me. All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Bye.